And then Easter Sunday is the good news. And I just want to draw out two things today. I want to draw out something about ourselves, the idea of putting ourselves into the gospel story. Can we do that? Should we do that? And the idea of kingship. So I want to concentrate on those two things. Isn't it interesting that thinking about kingship, because next week or in 2 weeks' time, I'm not quite sure on the date, but I think it's the 29th, Prince William gets married. So we have a royal wedding, and Queen Elizabeth is getting old, and so soon we'll have a king. And so kingship is kind of in the air a little bit. And I think that's appropriate because Jesus enters Jerusalem as a king. We began this series much earlier in the year, and we began it in Luke chapter 9, at verse 51. Let me read to you that verse. Jesus turned his face to Jerusalem and set out resolutely for the city. And so in chapter 9, Jesus begins the journey to Jerusalem. Now, Israel's a small country, and journeying down from Galilee to Jerusalem wouldn't have taken very long. And yet there's a long section of chapters and stories and healings and miracles where Jesus makes his slow way down to Jerusalem. And in the book of Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, in chapters 17 and 18, it talks about the threefold ministry. It talks about the prophet, the priest, and the king. And it's almost as though as Jesus journeys down towards Jerusalem, as he sort of makes his slow circuit into Jerusalem, he's exercising the ministry of prophet. There he is, healing and teaching. And it's almost as though he enters Jerusalem to exercise his ministry as king and priest. It's interesting, at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, that great leader of the ancient Israelites, is forbidden by God. He dies before he's there in what is now modern day Jordan, looking across into the promised land, and he dies there, unable to enter the promised land because he's a sinner. And here we have Jesus about to and entering the city of Jerusalem. And then Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey, and we saw that illustrated. But this isn't the first time the king has made an entry, because Jesus makes an entry into Bethlehem inside Mary's womb on a donkey. And this fulfills the promise of Zechariah chapter 9, that the king will arrive on a donkey. So here is Jesus as a prophet, fulfilling prophecy, and now as king entering Jerusalem. And of course, the kings of ancient Judah were crowned in Jerusalem. And of course, Jerusalem is the site of the temple. And so a number of threads come together as the king enters Jerusalem. Now, I asked a bit earlier, we read the Gospels, and this is a really, I asked about putting ourselves in the story, the Gospel story. And this is a crucial moment, I think, to think about this, particularly before Maundy Thursday, and then Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday, about the legitimacy of putting ourselves in the story. Can we do that? Should we do that? And but look at the way that this passage contains so many people and so many reactions. Just very quickly, if you've got that passage there, in verse 39, you have the Pharisees. You've got lots of religious people about. Verse 35 and verse 37, you've got crowds, people there for the show, the rubberneckers, you know, oh, what's going on, and having a look. So you've got the Pharisees, the religious people, you've got the crowds, and then you've got the disciples, those that have thrown in their lot with Jesus. And then I think you also, not only do you have the crowds, and you've got the Pharisees, and you've got the disciples, but you've got kind of people that are doing their job, going about their business as well, kind of observing this whole thing. For example, in verse 33, the owners of the donkeys. And then look at their reactions. You've got this spectrum of reactions. The two disciples being obedient in verse 29. The crowds throwing down their cloaks in worship in verse 36. And the Pharisees stopping the worship in verse 39. You see, the Gospels aren't written to a secret, special, ancient Middle Eastern sect. They're written to us, The crowds, the range of people, and the range of reactions shows us that when Jesus comes into the world, he doesn't come into the world for a special, small, tiny, little sect. He comes into the world for the people of the world, for you and I. You see, we're not just observers. When we see Jesus here, I think it's wonderful. I find it both chilling and encouraging in equal measure when we read and we all say together, "Crucify him." Because we're not just observers, we're involved. We're either cheering, questioning, worshipping, resenting, hating, or loving the arrival of Jesus into this world. The arrival of Jesus into Jerusalem, into this city. We think of kings, we think of Prince William. I mean, I don't think of Prince William in this way, but maybe Amy does. You know, kind of a handsome fellow. What's he good for? Well, he goes around with a big pair of scissors opening shows, wearing his uniform. What's a king good for? For stamps and coins? Or maybe you think king, like a benign dictator. Somebody, you know, a sort of a benign or a constitutional monarch. No. Jesus enters Jerusalem because in verse 40, Jesus says, "If my disciples are silenced, even the stones will cry out." And that's not a hyperbole. I mean, immediately the story of Balaam's donkey springs out, where God has to enter the world and has to make an animal speak. No, Jesus isn't being dramatic. Oh, Jesus, there he goes again with one of his expressions. Isn't he a rum chap? No. Even the stones cry out because he is the king of the universe. This is the creator, the holder together of the atoms of the stones, king. And he is entering Jerusalem. And where are we? Where are we in that crowd? And what is our link? What is our reaction to this king? This king who arrives in Jerusalem. The story that begins miraculously in Bethlehem now finishes violently and triumphantly in Jerusalem. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge and worship you as King. You who makes donkeys speak and, if necessary, could make stones cry out, because you are the King of this universe and you enter as a man on a donkey into Jerusalem. And so, Lord, we praise you and thank you for that entry into Jerusalem, even though we know what's coming. In Jesus' name. Amen.